I've been studying the Bible a lot and trying to become, see what God says about like anxiety and depression and things like that. Okay. And you know, it says a lot of useful stuff, and I'll be the first one to admit that standing up here and talking about it is a lot easier than me practicing it. Okay. I'm not the most emotionally well person on earth, you know. I like to joke and say I'm the Smith County Gandhi, but that's definitely not true, okay? I struggle with anxiety. I take medication. I have no problem admitting it, you know. I took some today, so hopefully I'm not as nervous. I think it's something we all struggle with. We live in a society that creates more pressure and anxiety than ever before. You know, if you think about your kids, they have more social pressure than anybody. They compare themselves to, you know, 100 different kids their same age every single day, you know. So, and then we have all this pressure from even like the school system to succeed and do all this stuff. So, we definitely live in a time where being emotionally well is not as simple as it used to be. So, let's see. God really wants us to be emotionally well. He wants us to have peace with things. That's kind of what this Bible verse says. It's John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Okay. And anxiety, the premise is fear. Okay. And afraid of what might happen, afraid of what's going to happen. I think throughout the Bible, it talks about not being afraid, right? I mean, we have somebody that already has taken over and control of everything, right? Even if we're going to mess up, even if, you know, we try to put our hand in it, he's still going to take care of it. So mental health in the Appalachians is, we're pretty behind the times, right? We have a terrible stigma around here. We're definitely not as open as other areas. It's often seen as a weakness, if you have, well, I guess, that you can look at it different ways, right? Well, if you're this angry, boastful person, then that's almost like celebrated in our culture, right? But if you're timid and anxious and depressed, well, that's seen as a weakness. That's seen as something that's not okay to talk about. It definitely affects us, especially in our older generations. You know, if I'm going to talk to my dad or grandpa about it, it's not going to be the same as talking to my friend about it, okay? Even though it's still just as prevalent with them, you know, I know mental illness was, you know, probably just as prevalent back, you know, two or three generations. It just wasn't talked about. And people suffered more, right? So, you know, and especially this masculinity thing, right? You know, you're definitely not seen as this masculine person if you have any of this mental health stuff, okay? It doesn't matter if you're like the biggest, baddest dude ever. If you get anxious, then you're seen as kind of weak. So, and that kind of affects our treatment. If you're open about discussing things, if you're willing to get help, you know, that's going to help you more. But if you see it as a weakness or an insecurity, then you're not going to do as well. So, I meant to add a slide, and I didn't get around to it, but I want to kind of talk about some of the symptoms of anxiety. You know, and I'm sure a lot of you guys know most of them, but anxiety, I'll tell you one that a lot of people misplace it as is a lot of times like hyperactivity or ADHD is really anxiety, right? They have the similar symptoms, you know. People are fidgety, they're pressured speech, you know, or they isolate themselves. It's not, anxiety is pretty easy to pick up on. It's not as like, depression is harder to pick up on. You can fake it, right? But the anxiety part, you can definitely tell a lot of times. So these are some verses, and I put anxiety and depression in here because they kind of go, it's hard to have one without the other, okay? So the ones on anxiety kind of talk about dealing with anxiety from God's perspective, right? He wants you to cast all your anxieties on Him. The Matthew 6:34 is going to play into a part of treatment, but therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And that's really talking about being present, right? You know, it's if you can be in the moment, then you're probably not going to have as much anxiety, okay? And then on the depression part, Christians have a little bit different pathology when it comes to depression, okay? We're a lot of times codependent. We live vicariously through other people and how they're doing, right? It's kind of our nature almost. We're worried about, hey, did I say something wrong and this person didn't end up the way they're supposed to be? Or if they're doing well, then that means I'm going to do well, right? That kind of thoughts, and I want to highlight that next week, but we definitely get into that train of thought a lot of times, and it contributes to our anxiety too, okay? Like, one of my thought patterns coming up here today was like, hey, if I say something wrong, is that going to affect you guys negatively, right? Is that going to be like, oh my gosh, they're going to leave here and be more anxious, you know? And that's not really how it works, okay? So, all right. So, with anxiety, there is positive and negative stress, okay? It's bad if you have no stress. Like, if you have no stress, then you're really depressed, okay? Don't believe Bob Marley, right? He says, you know, no worries. You should have some worries, okay? I think about, like, Hannah going to New York, right? That's a good stress. You know, that's awesome. You should have that kind of stress. You should be trying to better yourself and do stuff, okay? Now, it's bad if she gets up there and, like, obsesses about things and, like, can't think about being happy and all that stuff, right? Just like any other situation. Now, the negative stress, those are things you kind of bring upon yourself. That's not what God thinks about, right? What's God really want us to focus on for our stress? Does He really care about how much money you got? Probably not. You know, does he really care about what kind of car you drive in? Or if you're going to impress somebody? Or, you know, a lot of times the stuff that we stress about is not really what God focuses about. He could care less about most of this stuff that we really highlight on. And I'm just as bad, right? I mean, I stress out about killing a deer. Like, God probably don't care a bit if I kill a deer or not. You know, and you can ask my wife, like, I get, like, down during deer season, and it's dumb, you know? Like, it doesn't make any sense. It is like this balancing act, because you should have some stress, right? Like, if your kid's worried about his test tomorrow, that's a good thing, you know? If he's overconfident, he's like, I don't care about it, he's probably going to fail, you know? So, you should be anxious in certain situations, okay? If you do have this big test coming, you know, or if, like, I get worried about if I'm going to wreck on the road, well, that's probably a good stress, right? If I didn't worry about wrecking, then I probably would wreck. and a lot of that goes down to, you know, we want to have the right reaction given the stimulus, okay? Just like I was talking about with Hannah, you know, she should be a little bit stressed going up there, but it should be balanced, okay? I feel like I'm picking on her, but... last chance. I feel like I should have been a little bit stressed about coming up here and talking, because if I'm overconfident and thinking, like, I don't even need to think about it, I don't even need to make a PowerPoint or nothing, then I'm probably going to stink it up here, right? We want to focus on, hey, is this the right reaction given what's happening to me, okay? Almost like anger, you know, like, you should be angry sometimes, but it should be based off the stimulus, okay? If somebody, you know, steps on your toe accidentally, then, you know, that's not one you probably should get angry that bad about, you know? Now, if somebody, like, comes and eggs your house or does something bad, you should be angry. Like, I'm going to worry about you if you're not angry over something like that, okay? So really, we want to focus on that fear, right? And it comes down to insecurities again. You know, me being anxious up here is because I'm afraid I'm going to mess up, right? I'm afraid that you guys are going to be like, man, he stinks, right? And that's not really, I shouldn't really focus on that, okay? That's not why I'm up here. That's not the whole purpose of this. If you guys do think I stink, you know, there's always next week, okay? So really, faith and anxiety go hand in hand, okay? And faith in psychological terms is how long you can go believing in something without being reinforced. Okay, we believe in heaven, but we've never been reinforced because we've never been there, right? But I have faith it's real. I know it's real, okay? And it shows to me, like, how weak-minded I am, that God has literally taken care of everything I've ever had, and I still worry about it, okay? I mean, I'm 27 years old. And I can't tell you how, I mean, it's probably millions of situations where I've worried about it, stressed about it. And even, no matter what I do, he still takes care of it. Like, there's no way for me to mess it up. So, you know, we want to focus on, hey, you know, we can draw back on all these past experiences, but I already know I won, right? I mean, we win at the end, so. A lot of this, so fear, you know, the basis of all anxiety. We talk about the insecurities. Panic, you know, that's when you get overstimulated. And we'll talk about how to treat that here in a second. And then a lack of presence, you know, that's just not being in the moment. That's thinking about the future or the past or wherever, okay? And again, how to combat that is just knowing God's going to take care of you. There's no doubt, you know. If he don't take care of you, then, you know, please come tell me. I mean, I'll be worried too. So, but it's not going to happen. All right. So these are some of the treatments. Okay. We want to think about thinking errors. Okay. And a thinking error is like when you're getting down on yourself, like, man, you stink, or I'm worried about what these people think. Your brain's like a computer, right? You've trained it. You've programmed it to think a certain way. There's no doubt. Yeah, and you're trying to reprogram it and rethink about, hey, I got to focus on something else. I can't keep this pattern. Again, we want to understand what God wants us to find important, okay? You know, what does really God think about we should really focus? How you treat other people, right? How you follow him, how you love him. And really, I mean, that's kind of the basis. You know, we complicate things and add a bunch of other stuff, but that's really the basis of it, okay? Again, it doesn't matter what's in your bank account or what's going to happen at your job or, you know, none of that stuff really matters. You're going to be taken care of. You know, you got to focus on those interactions and that basis for interaction, okay? Living in the present, I'm bad about this. Okay, I think everybody's bad about getting on their phones and stuff. I'm the first one to admit it. I hate wordscapes. I'm like addicted to it. So, but we want to live in the present. Okay, when I was rabbit hunting yesterday, there was literally nothing else on my mind in rabbit hunting. That's it. Okay, and that's how you combat anxiety. It kind of resets your brain. All right, and there's a reason that when you go to sleep and you're more anxious and you wake up, and it's not there. It kind of resets your brain. And really, when we, I do want to talk about this, when you don't have stimulus, right, when you're not living in the presence, you're just sitting there like when you go to sleep, that's when you're going to have the most anxiety. Your brain automatically goes to the negative, okay, and we kind of, as a society or as people, we focus on the negative because we want to fix it, and that's not really the best way to go about things, okay? You can have all this great life and this, but it doesn't matter if your perspective's terrible. You know, I think about, like, man, if somebody was in my life, are they going to be as anxious as I am? And again, it's all about perspective. They could have a terrible life. You know, Chad just spent a lot of time in Africa. You know, they have a different perspective than we do about certain things, okay? And And I'm the first one to admit that I kind of get blinded by certain things and not appreciative, and I'm not focused on what I do have. Okay, I have a great life. It doesn't matter if I live in a big house or a camper. Okay, it doesn't matter if I have a great job or if I'm picking up cans. I still have a great life. I have a great son, I have a great wife, a great family, great church, right? And that's stuff that matters infinitely more than the stuff that I'm focusing on. So, you know, living in the present, okay, I'm a terrible therapist if I'm not thinking about therapy. All right, if I'm up here trying to talk to you guys and I'm thinking about what I'm going to eat after this, I'm not going to do a good job, okay? And you guys can kind of see that, you know, when I first started doing therapy, I was terrible about going home and just obsessing about and thinking about it, okay? And it doesn't make a difference if I go home and think about it 12 more hours. It doesn't. The only time I can fix it's in the moment, right? And it's not going to change how I fix it or what I'm thinking about. It's not going to change them either. You have to be present. And that takes a lot of skill and a lot of effort, okay? Mental health is like physical health. You have to work out and eat right every day to be physically healthy. Well, mentally healthy probably requires more work, and it's a daily thing. It's not this, oh, I can just skip a couple days. You know, it requires a ton of work. It's probably like the biggest challenge in your life, you know, is being emotionally well and spiritually well. So the compartmentalizing problems and stimulus, okay, that's when we get overwhelmed. And really, we just want to say, hey, this is my biggest problem right now, and that's what I want to focus on. If that's, and that's in the moment still, you know, and hopefully your problem's not that big in the moment, right? The big problems we focus about, we're only in the moment for a few minutes during those big problems. If I'm focused about paying my bills, well, I'm only in the moment while I'm at a bank. Okay, or if I'm worried about deer hunting, I'm only deer hunting so much, right? Or whatever, you know, we just want to push those to the side till we get there. And same thing with stimulus. If I got this group of kids coming in, right? They're all doing one thing or another. Well, of course, I'm going to set them down and be like, I got to have you guys talk in turn, right? And that's, you're doing the same thing with your brain, okay? I'm going to say, I'm going to make this problem talk first, right? And this is the biggest one. This is the one that's going to affect my life and everybody else's life the most. Well, that's the one I want to focus on. And then the last part, you know, we just want to keep faith in God and His plan. Again, you can't mess it up. If you follow God and you're faithful and you're doing in His plan, you can't mess it up, okay? He's got it taken care of. Just, you know, let's say there's this cute girl you want to talk to, right? Well, you're probably playing a numbers game. You're not going to do well, all right? I got lucky with Tammy, okay? So, like the 1 out of 100 that worked, right? So we're afraid of rejection, you know, and... but the person you should worry about the most rejecting you never rejects you. That's it. You know, you get to go back time and time again, no matter how many times you mess up, and He's always going to be there. Okay? I have a feeling if I mess up my whole life, Tammy's probably going to get tired of it eventually. You know? She's a great person, but it's hard to put up with me. All right? So every single time, He's never going to reject you. It don't matter how bad you messed up. Okay? And that's really what we want to focus about. It don't matter if your boss rejects you. It doesn't matter if your best friend rejects you. You know, they're all human. They're going to not have the best reactions every time. So, but God has the perfect reaction every single time. So, these are just kind of, I could sit up here and talk for hours and hours about anxiety. But these are kind of just the basis for how, you know, to start combating it. Again, I don't think, you know, it's therapeutic for me to get up here and talk about it because maybe I'll, like, implement it more. But, you know, it is, again, a lot easier for me to set up here than it is to go home and fix these things, okay? And maybe you already got fixed. If you do, you know, call me so I can have a better message or maybe something next time. So, but I do appreciate everybody here sitting and listening to me. I hope I have been some help. And if I could give you some advice or you can give me some advice or whatever, again, I'd be happy to help you. But I do thank you guys, and hopefully things will go well. And pray for me and our family. We, you know, we could use your prayers every day.